Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Speaking of abuses, and it's not just that, but here's Kerry Peck. He is the elder law attorney from the Peck Ritchie Law Firm. Happy holidays, Mr. Peck. How are you today?
Excellent. Happy holidays to you and your listeners, and a happy, healthy new year coming up soon. I'm doing well. How are you, John?
Good, good. You sound good.
Thank you.
I know what you want to talk to us about, and in fact, we even got a text message from a listener before you came on about this very topic. You told my producer, Neil, today that the holidays are a good time to visit and interact with older adult relatives and talk about mom and dad's care. It's actually an opportunity for you to see the caregivers in action. Is that the strategy there, Kerry?
Yes, I would think that, not everybody gets together on a regular basis with their relatives, and particularly their older relatives, other than around the holiday time. And I think that if you have a chance to see your caregivers in action for your grandfather, your grandmother, even your mom or your dad, it's a real good idea to take a close look at it. We've had two very recent cases in which caregivers, one 40 years younger than a cognitively impaired man, married them, and one in which basically they fled the country in order to get dad's money. So this is a real big problem, and I think that, people think, this is just for TV made up, but the reality is this is going on every single day, and we're seeing it in our office on a regular basis.
This listener said, I need advice from Kerry Peck. My older brother is 72, diagnosed with dementia. Physically and mentally, he is deteriorating. His longtime girlfriend has become his caregiver. Now, she's got issues herself, and she doesn't keep up with rehab. And that means that she ends up letting him sit in a recliner, and he doesn't move much, and that makes him weaker. Social workers have suggested it's time to put him in assisted living, but she has power of attorney for health care and is resistant to the idea of moving him to a facility. We know she loves him, but she's in over her head. How do we go about reporting this for potential elder abuse to be investigated? All right, Kerry, there's the story. What do you want to say about that?
Well, I would say that rather than report her for elder abuse, you should file for guardianship and assert that, the power of attorney, agent, girlfriend is not doing a proper job. She should be removed, and you should be appointed guardian. A guardian is someone that is appointed by the court to make decisions for your older brother when he's not capable of making his own decisions. Guardians come in two forms: a guardian of the estate, management of assets, guardian of the person, management of health care. And, if you live in Cook County, you file at the Daily Center. You live in Lake County, same thing. This process is the same in all the counties in Northern Illinois for large measure, and that's the way to go about it. You report it for elder abuse, and quite candidly, not too much is going to happen. They're overwhelmed, and you need quick action now. File an emergency guardianship, and, if you wish, we can help you do that.
How does guardianship differ for power of attorney? Does guardianship trump power of attorney?
Guardianship does trump power of attorney, and it's a great question, John. Guardianship trumps power of attorney, and a health care power of attorney is revocable at any time, regardless of mental capacity. So if your brother has the ability to revoke, he can revoke. But I would suggest that, you get a lawyer and you let a judge decide that the girlfriend here is not doing a good job.
That's really interesting, because I thought power of attorney was the end all. And that's somebody that the adult has assigned when they were competent. And that person's in charge now. But if the other family members think that the power of attorney person isn't doing a good job, they can petition the court. I guess you've got to make your case now, but you do have a way to get that person out of a position of authority, huh?
That's correct. You go in and allege that in this case that the girlfriend, is letting him sit around, not taking him to therapy, that potentially she's not meeting his needs. His doctors, social workers have recommended the placement in a facility, and that you, his sister, should be appointed guardian, and the agent under the power of attorney should be removed for cause, because they are not doing a good job protecting the person that they were supposed to protect.
And it says here girlfriend, not wife. It could be a common law situation. They could have been together for 50 years, so I'm not going to maybe judge that relationship for that word. But if this, but does being a wife carry some distinction that being a girlfriend does not? Is there a difference in this case?
Well, I would think that a judge would be less inclined to remove a wife. Certainly depending on the length of the marriage. But using your example, if it's a 50-year marriage, the judge is probably not going to remove that person unless there's some egregious situation going on. And, if dad is not getting, for example, his insulin injections because his wife doesn't know how to do it, then, it's likely she would be removed. But, yes, a girlfriend is more likely to be removed than a wife.
I've been talking to my parents lately. My dad has dementia. My mom does not. But there was a question about tipping some of their caregivers. And there was not unanimity between mom and dad and me and some of my siblings. My sister has power of attorney. So in this case, I wonder if she would be the decider or would my parents be the decider about gifting some money to somebody?
Well, the answer is it depends what the document says. Powers of attorney, again, which come in two types, a power of attorney for health care, management of health, and a power of attorney for property, management of assets, not just real estate. The documents provide for when do they become effective, and they can become effective upon signing the document, or they can become effective upon a determination by a physician that mom and or dad is not capable of making their own decisions. So I would say if the power of attorney is effective, then the power of attorney agent, your sister, is likely to be in charge of making those decisions.
So if there were a disagreement, she would be the one who ultimately, she could be the judge and jury, right? Like, we should do this. No, we should do that. Well, da-da-da-da-da. And then ultimately she has to decide what's reasonable and best.
Exactly correct. Now, I haven't seen the documents, but, the reality is if they're effective now, particularly in dad's case, he's got dementia, she's going to be able to decide how much or if at all to tip the caregivers.
Yeah, it's kind of complicated.
Assuming she holds a power of attorney for property, John.
Yeah, it's a little complicated in that mom does not have dementia. So now, you've got one parent is incapable of making this kind of decision. The other one is, and yet the two of them have ceded power of attorney to one of my siblings. So, I could see how my mom would say, I'm quite capable here. What about me? But my sister has power of attorney.
Well, it sounds to me like it's a bit of a standoff in a difficult family dynamic situation.
Yeah, well,
if your mom doesn't want to give him money and your sister does, or vice versa.
Yeah, right.
And then I think it's going to have to be worked out with the family.
Yeah, it's not a standoff.
The family sit down.
Well, I'm just describing the dynamics. We amicably and fairly decided what to do, but you're right. It could be a standoff. It could be a difficult situation for a family and something like that. And I suppose this is true, Carrie. I'll bet there are plenty of times where the adult kids spend mom and dad's money for the betterment of mom and dad. And yet mom and dad would be saying, oh, I don't need this, or I don't need that, or I don't want to get that. And the kids are like, you do. Let's just go ahead and get them the new chair or the new thing, because they don't like to spend money, but damn it, they need it. And so sometimes I think us adult kids feel like we will make decisions irrespective of our parents' wishes because we know what's better for them. You know what I mean?
Well, I do know what you mean, and I think that in those scenarios, the kids clearly are on the right, and they should proceed to do what they can to help mom and dad as they, age and their conditions get worse. The problematic scenarios are where the children spend mom or dad's money on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, take a vacation, buy holiday gifts for themselves. But
right.
In the normal course of business where it's, you know, a clean transaction, yeah, the kids are acting in mom or dad's best interest. They should do that and spend the money.
I think mom and dad would be better off if I had a new BMW. So I've taken their money and I've purchased a BMW for me. And I know that would make them happy. They just don't realize it. I'm sure there's...
Well, especially if you... I'm sorry to step on you, but especially if you took them for a ride.
Pun intended. Okay, 312-981-7200. I know you've got questions for Carrie Peck as well. You can call or text right now. This is Carrie Peck. He frequently visits with us. Sometimes you hear his commercials on the radio. He's that elder law attorney at the Peck Ritchie Law Firm. 312-981-7200. Carrie Peck, will you take more questions from our listeners, sir?
Absolutely, John. Ready to roll.
Well, this isn't necessarily a question, but I will read it. It's from one of our listeners who texted in to say, please thank Mr. Peck for me. His team came through for my family. My aunt is now under guardianship of a family member, not the county. Thank you very much, Carrie Peck. Not sure what that's all about, Carrie, but that sounds like the sort of thing you do sometimes, huh?
We do it on a regular basis, and I want to thank your listener for providing that wonderful comment. We're here to help. We really are here to help you protect your parents, sometimes from themselves and sometimes from third parties, whether they're caregivers or otherwise, and stealing their money.
Hey, Mr. Peck, I've got a wound that was incurred in a skilled nursing facility in August. I'm now being treated by a wound nurse and doctor. When I left the facility, they said it was fine, looking good. I got home and the nurse said, you need to have that stitched. It had since gone down to the muscle. As of now, it's practically healed, but unfortunately, I've since had surgery. I need to return to the skilled nursing facility. Any advice? So this person's going back to the place they felt they got subpar care. I don't know. What's your thought about that story, Carrie?
Well, number one, I wouldn't go back to the same facility where you got subpar care, as John just said. Second of all, if you want to give my law firm a call at 312-201-0900, I think we can talk further about what a potential legal action you can take.
Well, how do you know? Because elderly folks' skin is thinner. They're not mobile. They spend long time sitting or lying down. Sometimes they get wounds like that. How do you prove that it was abuse? Or maybe my mom and dad get good care, and sometimes they get bruised up, Carrie.
Well, whether it was negligence or not, the question is it below the standard of care? Would a physician conclude that the care they received at this facility is below what is commonly referred to as the standard of care for wounds on older adults? And it sounds to me like it was, but there's a lot more digging and investigation here that needs to be done. For example, reviewing the medical records, finding out what the nurse had to say that told him, he needs additional care, finding out what the surgeon has to say. So there's a lot of moving parts to it all, but, the question is standard of care.
But I don't want to vilify these places, too. I mean, it may be that a doctor or somebody else would look at it and go, yeah, that sucks, but this isn't abuse. It's not neglect. It's just sometimes what happens. A case could wash out like that, too, right?
A case certainly could end up in that scenario. And you're right. Older adults' skin kind of deteriorates as they continue to get old. But, you have to take a close look at it. It could go either way based upon the question.
You know what our frustration, too, is that some of these places, not so much the hospitals, but the rehabilitation facilities and the assisted living centers, aren't staffed to what they need, especially weekends or nights. And, you know, people are still living there on weekends or nights. So it's not a weekend for them. This is where they're living. This is their life. And when you consider how much we are all paying for that care, I'm not real satisfied with the, oh, well, it's hard to get good people. They're getting paid a boatload of money, some of these places, and they need to either pay people more or figure it out. I'm sorry, Carrie, I'm not asking you a question, am I? But I'm telling you what I've been seeing out there.
Well, I think, you know, John, your parents are in a facility, and you've had an opportunity to gauge the type of care that they receive, and others in your family or friends' parents receive. So, you know, it's a difficult situation. Clearly, for the money that the family is paying, the facility should provide substantial staffing, adequate staffing, and as you point out, on the nights and weekends. And, you know, there's no reason that they shouldn't do that. That's an issue I think you can take up with the Department of Public Health, the Illinois Department of Public Health.
Yeah.
So think about that or your listeners.
And you know, that's, pardon me, Carrie, and this isn't that, I think. It's just there are people working there, but there's just not enough of them. Frankly, I don't even think, here again, I know what my parents are paying. The food isn't that good. And I think the food should be better too. I don't think it is. Do you have anything to say about that, Carrie Peck?
My comment is more generic in the context of it's hell to get old, but it beats the alternative.
Yeah. I understand that. And yet, one thing that you run into a lot is that the elderly person, maybe dad, now has, it's funny because the scenario we talk about, Carrie, is that dad may now have a caregiver or a girlfriend, and she's using the credit card. But usually the women's live longer than the men. They survive their husbands. Does it happen the same way, too? Do young men or men take advantage of these widows, or is it more often dad is the one who is the target?
Well, statistically, I'm sure that you're right. The women die first, and young caregivers take advantage of dad. But I can tell you, I had a pretty ugly piece of litigation in the courtroom in which, you know, a guy was taking advantage of mom who did survive. So it does happen, probably less frequently, but the scenario is virtually the same. It's a guy that sees mom as, you know, cognitively impaired. She's got some money. And he's entitled to it after romancing mom. Whether or not, you know, it's a real romance is obviously not the case. So we do see both sides of that coin.
Is there any way, assuming that the parents are not suffering from dementia, they have their mental capacities, but is there any way for the kids, the adult children, to say, Mom, I want to be on the credit card too. I want the power to not let you use your credit card or your checking account. Is there any way the kids can insert themselves financially, even if the parents are, you know, good enough, but maybe are more easily conned?
Well, I think that if the parents are competent, then it's going to require their consent. Obviously, you know, my perspective is an older adult that's in a facility doesn't need a credit card. I mean, if they're living at home, maybe they do. You know, it's going to, if mom or dad are competent, it's going to require their agreement to put the children on the account, to put the children on a credit card, or to take the credit cards away. At the same time, you can get mom or dad off those accounts entirely, so the kids bear, you know, the obligation and the responsibility to pay the bills. That's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, and I'm sure the parents hate to, just the way they hate to lose their driver's license, hate to lose their ability to pick up the phone, call Amazon, or, you know, go online and order a shirt or buy the things they want to buy. If for instance, I'm on the credit card with mom and dad, they're still on the credit card. I can't do anything to check them to keep them from using it, right?
No, you can't. I would urge your listeners to take mom or dad's credit cards away, literally. Just take them away. And then they don't have the ability to be taken advantage of or to, you know, in the middle of the night, get up and use it for Amazon.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of credit card fraud going on. And it's often for, you know, preying upon older adults. You know, so the typical, hey, Mrs. Jones, this is, you know, your fill in the blank credit card company. We're concerned that there's a wrong charge.
Yeah.
Can you give us the number? Can you give us your social security number and your date of birth? Well, if that happens, mom or dad's credit card is being used very quickly with a huge amount of debt run up, all fraudulently.
We're out of time now, Carrie. A couple of listeners have asked if you guys do medical malpractice. I suppose some of this stuff in the case of seniors, could be described as that, but would a typical medical malpractice case be something you guys do as well?
Well, you can call us, and we work with a number of very prominent medical malpractice law firms. So give us a buzz. We're happy to put you in touch and co-counsel a case with, again, amongst the most prominent medical malpractice firms in town. We do a lot of probate-related work for medical malpractice law firms, so we have very strong relationships in that regard.
Good to know. Okay, Kerry, if I want to call you, how do I get a hold of you at the Peck Ritchie Law Firm?
Please call area code 312-201-0900. And don't forget, we have offices in Northbrook, Oak Brook, Lake Forest, and Chicago. So we're happy to meet you in an initial free consultation to discuss your situation.
312-201-0900. Happy New Year, my friend. I look forward to seeing you in the new year.
Happy New Year to you and your listeners. Thanks, John.
That's Kerry Peck.